my favorite Lori and Julia show of the week. In fact, today it's not even a Lori and Julia show. It's a Lori and Davina show.
Yeah.
Loda show.
Yeah. Thank you. Thanks for having me, Rocco and Lori.
You're so welcome. We called Davina in a panic a couple days ago, and we're like, can you fill in on Friday? Because the one thing, I keep up with you on Facebook, and I knew that Davina and the Vagabonds were not out vagabonding around to music gigs quite yet.
Not quite. Soon.
What's your first gig?
So May 15th, we're going to be doing, Who Am I?
You're Davina.
May 15th, we're going to be at the Hook and Ladder, which is really cool, in South Minneapolis. It's called Under the Canopy. We're actually doing two shows.
Is it outside?
It is.
Okay, so good.
We're doing two shows, which is really cool because the first show I got Edinburgh Jazz Fest to team up because I'm not going to be able to go to, I go to Edinburgh every year. I love Scotland. I love haggis. Sorry, vegetarians out there.
Really? And you know how to pronounce that word.
Maybe.
Yeah.
That's how I pronounce it. Who knows if it's right or not. But it's really cool. And it's all ages. So I bought like Scottish banners and little handheld Scottish flags.
So they're co-sponsoring? What does that mean?
Like, what we're going to do is just like kind of just have two shows in one show. Because I wanted them to see how amazing Minneapolis is and how amazing my local fans are. And then I love Scotland. So then I can, you know, enjoy that with them as well. So that's the first show, which is like 5 o'clock. And then the second show, which is the Throwdown. Not all ages show,
right?
Where I might like slip a few bad words in there.
Are there still tickets, Davina?
Yes.
Okay.
They're selling them in pods because we need, because pod is a word now.
Yeah, I know. So what? Like tables of 2, 4, 6.
Yeah,
is that it? Okay.
Yeah. And so that'll be there. And then the live stream for Edinburgh, it'll be up soon, just for them specifically for the festival. And we're also thinking about live streaming it as well. So many options, which is good, you know.
Good.
There wasn't many.
No, there wasn't.
One time,
and I like the idea of mid-May. We're going to be, and I think the Hook and Ladder is, and I know we have Crooners has some stuff going on.
Yeah. And the Dakota, I heard, I don't have like, you know,
official
word or anything, but I heard.
I bought like First Ave tickets yesterday, and then I got an email from a friend today saying, hey, you want to go to this other show at First Ave in September?
Nice.
So it's going. It's happening again.
It's happening.
Yeah.
You know, people are getting their vaccines.
Yes.
You know, and I think that's really, I actually have Vail Jazz Fest, which we're going to be going to, and they actually asked me for my vaccine card.
Oh,
that
did.
I'll have to have that.
Okay.
So, I mean, there's, you know.
When is the Vail?
That's in July. Yeah, and we had to reschedule. We were going to be doing that. We were doing a nice Europe tour and then flying to Vail and then doing that and then flying back out. Because it'd be my first time ever doing Vail. I'm not a skier.
But it's beautiful in the summer.
That's so pretty. Yeah.
Oh, that would be a good festival to go to.
I don't know if I've seen a 250-pound woman on skis. But we'll see. For me, you know.
Well, thank you for filling in for Julia. It has been quite a week. A week of real sadness and tragic.
Yeah.
We wake up today, you know, to the news of another
Indianapolis
mass shooting.
Yeah.
That was just really, really sad. And I heard, I don't know if this is true, although I usually think Joy Behar has a lot of her facts right, but she said it was like the 147th mass shooting since the first of the year.
Yeah, I remember seeing,
because anything that's more than like four people.
Sure.
There's been that many.
Yeah, it's really.
And then what happened here this week with Dante White and then the trial that's going on.
And then in Chicago as well.
It's heavy at a time when we were like feeling like, oh, there's light at the end of the tunnel. We're coming out of this pandemic. And then, you know, all these things are happening. And I was talking with a friend of mine and she said, don't you remember last year when all this lockdown happened that they were saying that there's just going to be a lot of terrible breaks that people are having with reality and everything else, that we're going to have a lot of hard times as a result of this.
And I'm just absolutely. Like, and I think in a lot of ways, though, even though it is so heavy and it's so unfortunate and there's been so much loss and so much grieving and so much drama, I do believe that there has been a huge awakening as well for a lot of people.
That's true.
You know, so, I mean, things are obviously just need to change. There's so many, you know, it's really, I heard about Indianapolis because I have to listen to the scanner, you know, because I was in South Minneapolis last year when the George Floyd civil unrest happened. So, you know, we have a scanner on
you
at
do
home, you know. Yeah,
okay, and just see
you know
what's going
just
on. My grandpa had a scanner.
I'm old school. Okay. Yeah, we had one in the kitchen too, so growing up, but yeah, it's something else. Yeah,
so yeah, that was you know, just like I was like, oh, you're kidding me.
Eight people. And I haven't read.
He was a 19-year-old kid.
Really?
With a gun. Yeah, with an assault rifle.
Sure.
The ones that can do the most damage.
Of course.
And anyway, there's going to be more information, but I'm sure that, you know, we're going to find that.
Well, I know that your heart and my heart and everybody's heart is going out for all the families. And
oh, my God.
I can't even imagine. I can't even imagine his family.
Yeah.
At this time, you know, it's just so many levels of.
And when you hear people react to this, like when there's a school shooting and stuff, one of the things people say is, I kind of figured this was going to happen to me one day because it almost just.
Because there's just, so many.
Yeah. And that's just a scary thing.
Yes.
To hear come out of somebody's mouth.
Yeah. I mean, you know, none of us went to school and had shooting drills.
No.
We had maybe, you know,
bomb drills. I've had
the
bomb
fire
drills. I've had like get under the desk.
The
earthquake.
Earthquake drills because we lived in Japan. I know schools, you know, that are in earthquake, you know, you have that. Mm. So it is a very
tornado,
different. Yeah. Different thing. And
metal detectors in schools and just, it's a completely. A new thing for us to even wrap our brain around, you know.
Well, we are going to hope for the best and keep praying and just,
holding the community together, too, is huge. I know that there's a lot of things, especially in the Twin Cities, that you can do for Brooklyn Center specifically, you know, and for Dante Wright's family. There's things like that, you know, which is what I try to do. And I know a lot of people in my circle try to do as well. So,
yeah,
and that helps make you stronger.
Yeah,
you know,
that's good. That's true. All right, listen, when we come back, I'm almost kind of glad that Julia's gone today because I can go about this next story without feeling any shame. It is the story that we can't get enough of. We'll be right back. Hey, everybody. It is Friday. Davina from Davina and the Vagabonds is filling in for Julia, size 6.5. Rocco is here. And our story that we can't get enough of, where people following along on the radio or possibly checking out on YouTube. That's right. The funeral tomorrow of Prince Philip is happening. I've got my new People magazine.
That's a great picture. Look at Her Majesty, the Queen, looking at him.
Beautiful, beautiful couple. There's some really great photos. Let me show you their wedding day photo, because remember, they were married for 74 years.
That's love.
That is love. Wait, I still there.
There we go.
And
there.
Keep in mind,
that's my favorite of them.
Isn't that lovely?
Day. We upload this story we can't get enough of to YouTube every day. That's why Lori's showing stuff to the camera.
Yeah.
So go to the My Talk YouTube
page.
They look so good.
Handsome. And then here they are 74 years later, still looking cute, right?
So cute.
So here we've got, and we're going to tell people how they can watch it. Oh, yes, we are. Because as I have to remind Julia, we got up to watch Harry and Meghan and broadcast from Channel 5.
Did you really?
Yeah, whenever that was, four years ago.
That's amazing.
And then years before that, we got up in the middle of the night to watch Princess Diana and Charles get married. We've been doing this for a long time.
Yeah.
And of course, I want to watch this funeral tomorrow for both legitimate reasons and gossipy reasons.
Absolutely.
But let's check in with Good Morning America. I think this is Maggie Rooley has the story for us.
He was a man of action, a man of fun, a sailor, a pilot, a style icon, even a bit of a dish. Known for his quick wit and zest for life, Prince Philip lived every moment of his 99 years to the fullest. Learning to fly with the Royal Air Force. He got his private pilot license in 1959. Seen here high above Windsor Castle, the Duke logged nearly 6,000 hours in the air. A decorated naval officer who witnessed the Japanese surrender in 1945. He loved art and design, even helping to modify one of his favorite cars, a Land Rover, into his own customized hearse. An adventurer with one eye always on the future, Philip was instrumental in modernizing the royal family, becoming the first royal to give a TV interview in 1961, even hosting two TV shows himself and starring in this charity film.
Please tell me, Steve!
What do you want to see me about?
It was Philip who pushed to have the Queen's coronation televised, something famously depicted in The Crown.
And that was. I mean, and I think that there is like a more of an appetite, too, for following all these stories and everything because of The Crown.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, they really brought to life, you know, as I know, you have dug deep with your documentaries and they're a lot of fun. And I don't think so. I think it's, you know, it's magical in a lot of ways, but the Crown really brought attention to the humility in some of it, you know, even the scandal.
The drama,
you know,
the scandal, because he ran around on his wife, but he was pretty discreet.
He liked the ballet.
He liked the ballet. That's right.
He liked the ballet. So, you
Rocco,
know.
Rocco, go ahead and play the next cut.
Some say he had a rebellious streak.
I'm not a rebel. I wouldn't call that innovator, perhaps.
With his passing, family and friends are sharing stories about the man behind the title.
We're hearing in the family tributes that have come through all of the things that his family loved about him. He had a huge amount of interest, was very passionate about understanding the world around him and in passing that on.
Many talking of the Duke's gentler side, like the time he comforted a 2-year-old JFK Jr. after his father died. In Washington, D.C. for his father's funeral, Jacqueline Kennedy found the prince sprawled on the floor, playing and laughing with her young son to keep him company.
For a man of his generation, he wasn't really particularly formal. He was very relaxed with people. And I always felt that he very much gravitated towards people who he felt had interesting stories to tell and who he felt were quite matter of fact and very genuine.
Because, of course, he had an interesting story. Yeah. The men in gray suits did not want Elizabeth, queen. And she wasn't queen. She was her father was the king. Her uncle had abdicated. And, you know, but they didn't want her to even date him because, for goodness sakes.
Well, they called him the man without a name.
His sisters married Nazis. And even though he fought for the British Royal Navy, he was looked at very askance and like, you're not good enough for this.
Yeah.
Gal. So I think that is true. And earlier this week, the dominant headline about Prince Philip's funeral was that Prince Andrew was demanding to wear an admiral uniform, which he's not even an admiral anyway, but it would have been an issue because if Admiral Andy gets to keep his military entitlements after stepping back from public duty because of his association with the pedophile Jeffrey Epstein.
Ew.
And then here's Harry, who served to that. That was very distracting. So the Queen had to get in. Buckingham Palace confirmed no one will be in uniform. And what everyone is talking about, and they're trying to make a big deal across the pond about this, is that the brothers, William and Harry, will not be walking side by side during the procession and inside the church. But I would just like to remind people that there is so much protocol with this. And if you
it might have nothing to do with any of their drama.
Well, if you even look at them walking behind their mother's funeral, they did not walk side by side. Philip was in between them.
Sure.
The brothers did not walk by side by side. So anyway, so Peter Phillips, which is the oldest grandchild of Elizabeth and Philip, is walking in between them.
Oh, that's
and so
sweet.
They're kind of, if you look at it, they're doing it by age.
Sure.
The kids. But I mean, Buckingham Palace discussed the drama. They said, this is a funeral and we're not going to be drawn into perceptions of drama. The arrangements have been agreed and represent Her Majesty's wishes. So,
and possibly Philip's as well.
And possibly Philip's, although basically, whether whether Buckingham Palace likes it or not, there's going to be a lot of attention paid to the body language, the looks that they exchange.
Absolutely.
I feel petty and terrible that
I'm going to do it too.
I'm going to be doing it. I'm going to be watching. We can watch it. Here's how we're watching it. Tomorrow morning, it is on ABC starting at 8:30 a.m. and it'll be a 2-hour news program. David Muir is going to be on it, and they're going to have people on. So that's on ABC.
Did you see the route that they're going to? Did you like they start at the state entrance and then go around and finish at the George's Chapel, which is really, that's a great processional route, which has been common actually for their route before.
And so, I mean, I was all ready to say, oh, this is terrible. They're not walking side by side. Sure. And then I went back and looked and I'm like, they didn't walk side by side at their mother. Yeah. It was like William and then Prince Charles, and then maybe it was Harry and then Prince Philip or Diana's brother, but they didn't walk side by side.
Yeah.
So, you know, there might be something.
There might be another reason, people.
There might be something to it, but we will. I don't believe that she ordered them to walk apart.
I can't imagine.
Because they didn't walk together at their mom. Yeah. So that's just the one thing. But it is, we are going to, we're going to be watching with our tea and scones. Rocco won't be.
Ooh, I wish you had clotted cream.
That's yes, yes. And, you know, and apparently he has planned all of the details of this funeral.
He knew he was passing away. So,
yes, yes. They tried to blame Harry and Meghan for his death in the Oprah interview, but
isn't that nice?
He's getting buried in his wool casket.
Ooh, he'll always be warm.
Well,
in Scotland,
it'll biodegrade.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yes, apparently he and Philip, this was one of their, they liked the idea of that.
Sure.
And I do believe that
wool casket.
Yeah, I guess he might have been happy about the fact that it's COVID because he didn't want a big fuss and there's just 30 people going.
And I think it'd be good for their grieving as well, especially for Her Majesty the Queen, too.
But we'll be watching ABC tomorrow, gathering, looking, taking care of. I know it's terrible.
Counting the side eyes.
Yes, we're just looking, but I hope there is.
You're allowed to sing to your own music.
That's Davina from Davina and the Vagabonds. And if you've never had a chance to see her, you must go because you will dance and your hips will shake and your little triangle will move.
I would hope so.
What's going to be the first song that you sing?
Oh my gosh, I haven't even thought
of
that.
You haven't even thought about that.
I haven't even thought about it. One that I can just use the force and give it up my all, you know?
Yeah.
You know, something. It'll be good. It'll be mind-blowing for
people. Did you ever meet Dr. John?
I didn't, and I played the same piano as him, obviously, at the Dakota. I'm like such a fan of Dr. John.
Did you go to the free show? Were you in town when they had the free show at the St. Paul Saints?
No.
Remember that? I don't know if Rocco remembers
Rocco
that. They had some kind of a, I don't know what it was, and Dr. John, and it was a free concert.
Yeah, what was that?
I don't remember.
I don't know, but it was
at the new St. Paul Saints Stadium, right?
Yes, and maybe it was to celebrate that, but I had never seen him.
I would have loved, you know, remember the band?
Yes.
Okay, so they had that last waltz, and I remember seeing
that show.
This adorable dude walking up with, like, sparkle bow tie.
Oh, was he playing Dr. John?
And, well, he was Dr. John. No, I mean, the real one.
Oh, the real
last
guy.
Waltz. Yeah, I wish they would dress me up. I'll do the real Dr. John for the local one.
You could do it.
Could you imagine? Put me in
drag. You could do it.
I'd totally do it. Anyway. But I just fell in love with him. He's just so amazing and so talented. I love all those New Orleans piano players.
Yeah.
So.
Have you played? You've played New Orleans,
yeah,
obviously.
I've done their jazz fest. I've been around. It was a lot of fun.
Oh, yeah.
Woo!
I went to one, and then we were going to go last year, and then, you know, COVID happened, but it was also the Rolling Stones.
Oh, my gosh.
You know, remember that?
Boom. I love them. We got scouted by the guy who we were in Memphis, you know, pounding the pavement. And he came on off of the street, the guy who books the New Orleans Jazz Fest. and we were in this like toilet of a venue. I'm not going to say the venue.
Okay.
But he came in and he goes, have you ever played the New Orleans Jazz Fest? And you know, we get this a lot. Have you played Letterman? Have you?
Yeah.
And we're like, oh, yeah. And he goes, no, have you ever played it? I said, no, but if you talk to the guy, let me know. And
right.
He handed me his card.
Oh my gosh. She was the
room.
Booker.
He made room for us that year.
What tent did you play in?
We played the blues tent.
You did?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. But it was perfect. Hey, it was hip. Yeah. It was bucket list.
It is.
You know?
It is. Like, I haven't been to all of the festivals, but as far as festivals, it is a favorite because of how they have it laid out. And also
it's
the
massive.
Fact it's massive, but it's a fairground and it's pretty easy. But that it's 11 to 7.
Yep.
Like my husband loved that because he's like hates when a blues fest goes like
forever,
from 10
ever,
in the morning till midnight. He just thinks it's too long of
a
day.
You can go have dinner, get a beignet.
Yeah.
Go to bed. Wake up, do it again. Yeah.
All right. Well, Rocco, she only made it 3 weeks. Chrissy Teigen left Twitter on March 24th. She made a huge production about it, doing a tweet thread, which basically amounted to, I'm too thin skinned for someone so extremely online. And then she was gone. But it also happened to be the time that she and Kris Jenner released their organic cleaning product called Safely or something. And Chrissy Teigen was tweeting and Instagramming her in like ballerina outfits pretending to clean. And I think that just a lot of people were like, you know, who knows? But and then like 2 days later, she was People Magazine's most beautiful cover. And she really amped up the Insta. But
super amped up the Insta.
Super amped up.
Every time I went on there, I'm like, here
she is.
Yeah.
And the thing is, I've decided this because she's back. Mm-hmm. She came back to Twitter. It's harder to engage on Instagram. And the thing that Twitter is more immediate is that you can go back and forth. You feel a more immediacy with Twitter that you don't get with Instagram. Because people's responses are clapping, fire, smiling, hearts. Yeah. You know, there is all of that. And
They're actual words. Like, you can communicate on a quicker level. I totally agree with you.
I think she was having a difficult time scratching that attention itch on Instagram.
She needed someone to yell at her again and judge her, I guess.
Yeah. So she's back, and she said, you know, made, of course, a big deal about coming back. And anyway, after a grueling 22 days of nothing but apparently grisly Twitter brief and bland, you know, things going on. She's gracing us again. She can't handle it.
Chrissy Teigen.
Well, there's no friends like your Twitter friends.
Well, you know, and Jenner's given her probably the best advice by just continually telling her, get off of it, get on it. You know,
it's like her favorite way to get attention. By July,
her jam.
By July, she'll be announcing another break and then she'll come back.
Man, her husband's talented though.
Yeah, very. And I do, and I like her, but I mean, she just made
it's a bit much.
Such a big deal about going off, and her feelings were hurt, and everyone was yelling at her. And it's like, don't treat Twitter like Dear Diary.
Sure.
Well,
it's funny how she wants to, you know, she definitely comes out as being herself and wants, you know, wanting that. But then she gets backlash for it and she just can't hang. So,
yeah,
that's what you get.
Now, I did, you know, really appreciate that Madison LaCroix from Southern Charm answered Page Six phone call yesterday when they asked her about, what do you think about J-Lo and A-Rod breaking up? Of course, now for a reality star to just wish them the best is really poor use of being a reality star, because she could have made some kind of a comment.
Pretty Southern, though.
Well,
if you would, you know what I mean? Like, it's a pretty Southern kind of passive aggressive.
To say, I wish them the best.
Yeah, okay. You know, kind of, you know, that polite yet jabbing Southern kind of thing, you know?
Well, I think she should really wish A-Rod the best, because J-Lo is filming a movie in the Dominican Republic with Lenny Kravitz, a movie that takes place on the beach and likely involves Lenny in a multitude of no shirt shots.
His
as
abs.
Well as Josh Duhamel is also in this movie. She's already got the best situation any number of wishes could grant, I would say.
I would say as well. Oh my goodness.
Yeah.
Wait, did you see his Instagram story?
It was pathetic.
What? Like, is he okay? Like, it looks so sad.
Yeah.
It looks so, so sad. All those beautiful pictures
and,
of...
And terribly cheap. Yeah, and terribly... Yeah, that Coldplay song, Terrible, which makes it a breakup song, sound like he tried everything. Okay, he's been involved with more cheating rumors in, you know, than a thousand denials.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
And many, many things. And
Madison LaCroix is pretty cute with that side dimple thing she's got.
And please,
I'm going to try it, people.
Yeah, please. She said she made a point to say I never had physical contact with A-Rod.
She did admit that they were conversing, you know. But Craig and Austin, man, they just nailed her, you know, all about it. So anyway,
yeah,
I'm
but
sure
would you
happy.
Be mad at your fiance if he was engaging
absolutely.
In FaceTime sex
oh,
with
gosh.
Somebody else?
I would be livid.
And the reason why that stage thing happened a month ago was so...
That's cheating, just to let you know.
Well, so that J-Lo could maintain face that she didn't even pay attention to the fact that this happened with this D-list reality star, but you know...
Oh, she was probably so mad.
Based even on all the beautiful pictures she's posted of herself with her hitching finger right in center without a ring on it.
Yeah.
She is letting us know.
She's letting Lenny Kravitz... Is Lenny Kravitz married?
No, he's very, very single. Make
How did
this
I
happen.
Not know that? I'm going to text him.
Please.
Or not, tweet him. Tweet him.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. I think Lori's tried that a few times.
Oh,
really? Did you ever see that famous photo of him on stage?
Oh, yes. Are you kidding?
Did you like slow-mo it? Were you like...
We were obsessed for days. Donnie was completely appalled with us. I was more obsessed. Julia got appalled at me, but we couldn't stop looking. And we've seen him in person on the red carpet at the SAG
beautiful?
Awards. So gorgeous, he's a bit of a pocket-sized man, okay?
Oh, right. yeah, he's like...
He looks so tall
so
on stage.
Yeah, that's
he
what...
He looks so tall
well, look
in the
Mick
videos.
Look at Mick Jagger. If you go to, like, the Cleveland, what is the big...
The Rock and Roll,
the Rock and Roll
Hall
of Fame. You can see all of those outfits, and you're like, oh, that would fit my left thigh.
Yeah.
You know? You're like, wow.
Wow. So but he was ignoring us, and he was literally, like, from...
It's because of your beauty.
No.
He just couldn't hang.
We were at the end by the door, and this is where a lot of people would gather, and they're like kind of running into each other, and he was just ignoring these shrieking women.
Oh, yeah.
Until Julia yelled, Lenny, Prince says hi, we're from Minnesota.
She got him.
And then he turned around, and he winked at us and kind of gave us a hey.
Yeah.
And we were like, hey. Ooh. And then we just like died, and then we were like,
he's so short.
I'd
have been like, Lenny, are you gonna go my way?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm talking like 5'6".
Yeah.
You know, and
that really?
Yeah.
That's short. I mean, I'm not like good for you and your 5'6". I'm not judging.
Listen, I'm married to a man who's 5'5½", but
are
he
really?
Is so
Aww.
Broad and is such a tall person in character.
Yeah.
I don't notice
I like
height.
That edge.
Yeah.
I like that kind of short man syndrome
the,
edge.
They
sometimes.
Don't have the thing yet about it. And Lenny did not appear to.
No.
And neither does
I don't think
Keith,
he's having a problem.
And Keith Urban doesn't have it either. And Nicole towers
She's
over him.
Very, very much taller than he is.
Yeah. So well, anyway.
I'm sure there's benefits for different.
So you can wish A-Rod the best.
Yes.
Little Miss Southern Charm. But I think that the wishes have already been granted for J-Lo.
You know, A-Rod blew me off. Just to let you know.
Did you try and slide into his DMs?
Well, I got to do the spring training. I got to sing for down in Fort Myers.
How fun.
And he was there and I'm like, A-Rod! A-Rod! And he just totally ignored me. It's because I don't have that Madison LaCroix side dimple or the J-Lo.
He's going to be in town more often now, though, so you'll have another chance. Maybe you can come see one of your shows.
Yeah.
Well, that could be. But,
balcony at the Dakota, you know, like Prince used
I'll
to
be
have.
Like, this one's for you, A-Rod. And sing like a really, I'll sing the Coldplay song.
Fix you. Oh, we just—I laughed and laughed at that pathetic post.
It was I was like, wow.
It felt so desperate.
It was really reaching.
Yeah,
I mean, it was straight up reaching.
All right, listen. Today in the Hollywood news, we did not see coming. That's Jason Derulo and Josh 685. Never knew. Did you know that?
No, it was really good. It was
really good. Davina from Davina and the Vagabonds is filling in for Julia. And of course, we met Davina. I mean, I've seen you play in person, but we met you when we did our radio show, War of the Worlds, for Project Down and Dirty last year.
So cool. That was crazy time. I mean, it was right when, that's when I met you.
It was
Rocco,
the second shutdown was kind of happening. They set up that whole radio thing, amazing. And we got to work with a lot of our people that we'd worked with.
It was so on point.
It was fun.
Can I just bring that up again? And I know you guys probably talk about it all the time.
No, we don't.
But it was so ridiculously on point that it was a little scary.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I was like, wow.
Well, Jeffrey Hatcher, I mean, he knows what he's doing when it comes to writing. And we had like the best of the best.
It was really amazing.
Yeah. I know.
I got to be sassy.
I was terrible. I'm a terrible actress.
You did good.
You know what? I really hope one day we do a Project Down and Dirty that involves me being a go-go dancer. That's really all I want to do.
I mean, it should be.
That's all I want to do is just be a go-go dancer who lip syncs and doesn't really sing.
I'm here for it. I even have go-go boots. I don't know what size. You wear
right. I got go-go boots.
Original ones. We can Rocco's good on eBay.
Yeah.
I think that's where you got your shirt, right?
That's right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so the today in the Hollywood news we didn't see coming. Deadline is reporting that Carrie Mulligan, who is Oscar nominee for Promising Young Woman, which is a great movie, has signed on to play Adam Sandler's wife in the upcoming Netflix movie Spaceman. Now, Adam Sandler, Netflix, before you go, what? You know, we're talking, apparently this movie is based on a novel by this guy, Jaroslav Kalfur, and will be directed by the guy who directed the miniseries Chernobyl, which was epic.
And this is Adam Sandler's involved in this?
He is playing the spaceman who, and I guess it's going to be Sandler more like Sandler in Uncut Gems than Sandler in Grown Ups 2.
Okay.
That's this movie. That's why Carey Mulligan, I guess, is...
Sure. That makes sense.
...is in it. But, I mean, he has had a lot of, you know, he pulls in the leading ladies. I mean, Jennifer Aniston, Julie Bowen, Drew Barrymore, Katie Holmes, Salma Hayek, Jessica Biel, Winona Ryder. He does get a lot of people, but...
He must have finances.
I don't know.
I know. If
so,
they can get those great.
Because I was
women.
Just like, what? Carrie Mulligan in an Adam Sandler movie? And
are you a fan of Adam Sandler? I mean, didn't he come out with one recently with Jennifer Aniston?
Well, that's like 3 years ago. He does these.
And it kind of bombed, right?
Well, it did very well on Netflix. They were in the Amalfi Coast of Italy.
Maybe just bombed with me.
My mother absolutely loved it.
Really?
She's like, I'm never getting to the Amalfi Coast. It was wonderful to go to the Amalfi Coast and see a light rom-com. So he does do well with that.
Sure.
If it's following an astronaut who's sent to the edge of the galaxy to collect mysterious ancient dust, and his earthly life is falling to pieces behind, blah, blah, blah.
But people liked him a lot in Uncut Gems when he kind of
very
took
much
it
so. He got nominated for a few awards, not Academy Award, but he did get nominated.
It's so easy for you to be cornered as an artist or as I'm sure as an actor, you know.
Yeah.
Look at Urkel.
Right.
He has some new news too.
Is his news?
He's coming out with his own brand of CBD, but with added extra oomph.
Really?
And he's calling it, I think, Urkel.
Really?
Yeah.
I'm seeing it right now. Purple Urkel.
Purple Urkel.
Purple Urkel.
Okay. Yeah.
Everybody is getting into that business. I mean,
I was trying to be really as diplomatic as I could. I was what am I allowed to say on here?
Puff, puff, pass, pass.
I'm like, CBD edibles, with CBD? Added extra oomph?
No,
like,
you can say it. You can say it.
So, yeah, he just, I saw that kind of being released, which I thought is kind of brilliant because, I mean, what else is he? I mean, he probably hasn't had a career for a very long time.
Right.
Know? So I thought, hey, good job, Urkel.
Mm-hmm. Kira Sedgwick, she was on Drew Barrymore. And I love Kira Sedgwick, okay? Love her. Loved Brenda Lee on The Closer. She was amazing. I love her and Kevin Bacon. When they're together, They're just lovely. We've seen them several times on the red carpet at the Screen Actor Guild Awards, and he's a little bit nicer than she is.
Sure.
But she, I think, she just, I probably doesn't like the red carpet. That might have been the vibe that we were getting from her. But anyway, and she's in this new ABC sitcom called Call Your Mother, which I have watched out of a total sense of affection for her, but don't really like.
Really? What is it? What's the premise?
She plays a mom from Indiana, and her best friend is Sherry Shepherd, which they've given her more of a role, which is helping the show. But her two kids live in L.A., and she's like the helicopter mom, and these kids are like in their late 20s, early 30s.
So they're like, Mom, I'm old enough, like that.
I'm very uncomfortable with her playing this role because I think it's beneath her.
Okay.
Basically, I'm just like, I don't buy you as this neurotic mom.
Yeah.
But anyway, she did tell a cute story to Drew because she's trying to get people to watch that show about the time that was Kevin Bacon. He must have been. Was he in A Few Good Men?
Yeah, who knows?
Rocco.
I think he was.
At one point, I knew all the Kevin Bacon movies because you need to know that if you want to play Six Degrees of Kevin Bacon.
I think he was. Anyway, she was pregnant and they were invited to Tom Cruise's house for dinner.
Ooh.
And it was kind of a cute story. And there's a bunch of Hollywood people there. She said, you know, like Demi Moore, all these people were there. And she was just like kind of looking around. She was curious to see his house. He was married to Nicole Kidman, I believe, at the time.
Wow.
And she wondered what this little button was next to the fireplace button. And she pressed it.
Yeah.
And then nothing happened. She thought maybe a screen would come down or the fire would. And the next thing you know, Tom Cruise was like looking around at people. The cops, it was a panic button straight to the police department.
Oh, my gosh.
And she's like, she didn't blame it on being, she thought maybe it was going to be a secret room was going to happen.
Yeah.
She was like, I know I
Who
shouldn't
knows
do that.
With Tom Cruise?
She's
Who
like,
knows?
I'm nosy. And, you know, anyway, she said, I've never been invited back to his house.
Oh, you'd be kidding.
I'm like, that's a good story.
That is a really good story.
Yeah,
that is hilarious.
Like, I thought maybe it was like a little panic
room. Yeah, it
was
by the fireplace. Like, what would you know? Hey.
Right. 1991, you know, maybe people, rich, famous people were talking about we should have a panic room.
Sure, yeah.
Something like that. But anyway, it was hysterical.
That is an amazing story. So, never got invited back.
Yeah, and it was a good pre-planned story.
That's a
very good one.
That's cute.
And she could have said it. She could have blamed it on being pregnant. And Demi would
have been like, I want to push buttons.
Yeah, it's just a pregnancy thing I have. I just have an overwhelming. She'd fess up. It was me.
It was me. Oh my gosh.
All right. Listen, we come back. We do have some music news for you. And we're going to do Davina's Random Thoughts at 4:15.
Oh, yeah.